reaching the Catholic with the Lord's love, how do I get that topic? That was my heart's desire. In 1985, when reluctantly I had to leave the Catholic Church and the priesthood, with the desire that I could always reach the Catholic with love. To give a very, very quick account of my story of grace, how the Lord saved me for 14 years after a very serious fall that I had in 1972, I started studying the scripture. And I had been academically very well trained by the Jesuits, first of all, and then by the Dominicans. And academically, I was able to analyze over those 14 years. And I came to the conclusion that we are made right before God on the authority of Scripture alone, that it was by grace alone. After some other years, I understood that clearly, and I could give you the scriptures going with it. It was by faith alone, and that faith itself was a gift of God, as Paul said in Ephesians, and that it was in Christ alone. It wasn't in any sacraments or in any church. It was in the person of Christ alone. And I understood even that to God alone be the glory. And I wondered after 13 and a half years, how can it be that I don't have peace with God? And I was an Irish man, and you know the Irish and the bottle. I used to drink a lot, but not to drink and socialize like the other priests. I used to drink at night to sleep. And it was really bothersome to me that how could I be a Bible believer, because I understand all these things, and how could I depend so much on drink? And I used to boast I hadn't committed any serious sin in my life, but I didn't understand the serious sin of pride and wickedness, and the thoughts of my heart I knew were wicked. How could this be? So one night I really got before the Lord and literally got on the carpet of my little house that was adjoining the Catholic Church. And I got on the carpet and I cried out to God, show me that I'm dead in sin. Show me that. And it was like the Lord brought to mind Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You being dead in trespass and sin. That just lit up in my mind. And I cried out, God, show me that I am dead. Show me that I can do nothing. And more the Lord was revealing to me that I was spiritually dead. And I cried out then, I said, God in heaven, give me the faith to believe and the grace to empower that faith, that I may be in Christ, having his peace and his joy. And then I just was in silence then for a minute or two, and then I said, and yes, Father in heaven, I believe on Christ alone. I trust on him alone. I trust on him alone now and forever by your goodness and grace. And then I literally got on the carpet and I cried for about 15 minutes. Next day and on ever after, I was different. I didn't need any rum or beers or anything to sleep at night. I was totally different. I was peace with God for the first time in my life. And of course, I preached differently in the church, and it caused real contention with the Archbishop, and people complaining and everything, and it was real difficulty. And then I saw finally that I couldn't keep doing sacraments, I couldn't give people absolution in confession, I couldn't do the Catholic stuff. And I really got before God and I prayed again, again on the carpet before God, I prayed that I may always love Catholics. What do I do? And it was, leave and I will look after you, and you can love them in what I will do with the rest of your life. And it was with the, I felt the assurance of God as I was praying to him that I could always love Catholics, that I was willing to leave when I left for Canada, I left for then for the States, and came to the States. It was so that I could really love Catholics, and I thank God that after the blessing of a wonderful wife that the Lord gave me, that he has given me in abundance and given both of us a love for Catholics. And you will see that it's in our webpage, it's on everything that we do. There is a love permeating, that's God, it's not of us. We know that still there's no good in us, but it's all of God's grace. And so this morning I really want to speak on the actual topic itself, reaching the Catholic with the Lord's love. I have a page chart, and I hope everybody has it, because this will explain it really clearly. And the little tract, Are You Right With God? The little tract has the same chart, but it uses the Catholic Bible and not the King James Bible. It is comparing the Catholic Bible to the Catholic Catechism, the official teaching of the Catholic Church. And I thank God of all the materials that we have produced, that this one little tract has been most effective. Peter Masters of Metropolitan Tabernacle printed about 40,000 or more, and the Christian Watch and many more in England when the Pope came there to visit. It also met the Pope in all the cities across Australia when he went to different towns. People had this. It is a way that God has touched Catholic hearts, and I thank God for this little tract that the Lord has used. And I really ask that you would use this in your own life and get many copies of it. You can see in the back where you get the copy. So it is, my heart is in this, that we would reach the Catholic with the Lord's love and do it in clarity, that is, using the scripture and comparing it to Catholicism. And the first topic that the Catholic will admit, the topics are given in the center of the page, the Bible verses on the left, and the official Catholic teaching on the right. So these are the actual words of the Catholic Church in their official teaching in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. All people recognize Catholics, and everybody who goes under the name of Christian, all people recognize that the most important topic to be dealt with is, what is truth? Is there absolute truth? That is the question. Is there absolute truth? Does it exist? And the first quotation here, what Jesus said, scripture cannot be broken. There is an absolute, it is the written word of God is absolute. It cannot be gainsaid, spoken against. Christ Jesus giving the absolute. Scripture cannot be broken. And Jesus said on the night before he died, in his high priestly prayer, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. There is an identity between the Bible and truth. It's not that the Bible contains truth, it is truth. As Christ Jesus himself said, and this is again showing how absolute it is. And the Apostle Paul has scripture after scripture about how important the Word of God is as our authority, and he summarizes, as if it were, in 1 Corinthians 4:6, that ye might learn in us not to think above that which is written. We do not let our thoughts go above and beyond what is in the written word of God. And the sufficiency of Scripture, it's all sufficient for every situation, is summarized in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And if any of the children do not know this verse by heart, well, it's verses that we should all know by heart about the sufficiency of Scripture. And it is the topic that most grieved Christ Jesus. Why was Christ Jesus grieved? It tells us in Mark 7:13, because the Pharisees were making the word of none effect through their tradition. The Pharisees were nullifying, attempting to nullify the word of God by equally loving their tradition. And you know the words that Christ called them, blind leaders of the blind, teaching the doctrines of God as if they were teaching the doctrines of men as if they were the doctrines of God. How Christ witnessed to them, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's his word to the Pharisee. They would die in their sins if they did not believe who he was and what his word was. So it is utter seriousness, and we have to, because this is what grieved Christ Jesus most of all about the Pharisees. Now reading the exact word of the Catholic Church in their official teaching. The Catholic Church quotes from the catechism in paragraphs, not page numbers. And this is the way they do it themselves when they quote from the catechism. They give a paragraph number. A paragraph number is the section on the page. So it's easy, very easy to quote from the catechism. It's like having a verse of Scripture. They have a section. So we are quoting from the catechism of the Catholic Church, and it's section 80. Quotation. Sacred tradition and sacred Scripture then are bound closely together and communicate one with another. You can take up any Bible and look at it. It doesn't seem to be communicating with any other source. It seems to be, as Jude said, the word of God once delivered to the saints. But the Catholics have this strange idea that it's communicating, that the sacred tradition, which they put first, is communicating with sacred Scripture. That is their idea, that they begin in paragraph 80. And then they go on in paragraph 81 to say, and holy tradition transmits in its entirety the word of God, which has been entrusted to the apostles by Christ the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So it's given like to the church, to the apostles, and it's And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not in the last. It's the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, we're told by the Apostle Peter. It was men of God moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He uses the word to convict, and people are come to faith as they're born again. They're convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the word that uses the word to sanctify God's people. It's the work of the Holy Spirit from beginning to end to transmit the word of God. It is not the work of any church or its tradition. It's the work of the divine person of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a utter disparity between this teaching and what the Scriptures actually say. It's the Holy Spirit from beginning to end is the one who transmits, uses Scripture from our being born again to our being glorified in heaven. It's the Holy Spirit's work. So we praise the Spirit of God, one with the Father and the Son. And then they come to their conclusion in paragraph 82. As a result, the church does not derive her certainty about all revealed truths from the Holy Scriptures alone. Both Scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored with equal sentiments of devotion and reverence. Now, how serious is this? What devotion and reverence do you show for the written Word of God? We show great devotion and reverence because this gives us the mind of God. We have in written form the mind of God. So this is on a special level that we show this written Word of God, devotion and reverence, because it alone shows us the thoughts of God. We can think His thoughts after Him with the Scripture. It is a joy to us that we have the Scriptures because we have the mind of Christ in the Scriptures. And so we showed a love and devotion that is on a different level. It's like a husband and wife. A husband may say to his wife, "Well, I love you, honey, and I also love my golf game, and I also love my Black and Decker tool to drill holes in walls and all." But there's no similarity between all these. It uses the same word love, but it's utterly different. It's utterly different, and we know that. And so for a church to say formally and in official teaching that they equally love and reverence tradition as they do the written Word of God is to show that they're utterly devoid of the truth. It's an adulterous love. On that level, nobody can show equal love and reverence for any other source of authority other than the written Word of God. It breaks your heart. It was breaking my heart as a priest when I said this, so I say this with love because I know the pain of seeing that Holy Mother Church is saying that we equally love tradition as we do the written Word of God. The pain that I used to feel. How can I give that up? Mother Church has been everything to me. Mother Church is the one, you know, when I was baptized as a baby, right through my years of training and everything. And how can I give up Mother Church, her tradition, as being equal to? Well, I got convinced that if the Lord said it, I had to go with what the Word said, that it's Scripture alone. And that I could not hold to any other teaching authority. And so if you're Catholic and here today, or Catholic and listening to this message, I know the pain of it. I know it's difficult. But face what the Scripture says. Face what Scripture says. Scripture cannot be broken. It is the absolute authority. There's no other authority equal to it. That is what the Pharisees taught. That is what all the cults teach. The Way International, Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, they all teach it, but they don't teach it so clearly. All cults believe in other authorities. But the Catholic Church tells you emphatically that they have an equal love for tradition and reverence as they do the written Word of God. So this, it breaks our heart, but we have to say the truth in love. This cannot be so. We cannot be true to Christ and have any other source that we equally love and reverence. Now this is where all reaching Catholics starts. This is where it all starts. We pray that we may love them. That has been my beloved wife Lynn and myself's desire. I remember when we were driving west to come finally to Portland, but we were driving and we had reached Dallas, Texas. That was very early on, and we stopped at the Denny's restaurant. And as usual, you know, I was up and looking at the boot behind me and asking people, you know, how have you read your Bible today? And, you know, do you know God and all that? The people behind were old, and they were, I had to talk loudly to these people in the boot behind us. And I didn't know. But there was another gal in another boot, Elaine Sender, a Catholic girl, and she was listening to all that I said. When finally we, you know, got started in ministry and all, much time later, I got an email from Elaine Sender saying that she was in the restaurant in Dallas, Texas, and she heard me speaking at Denny's restaurant, and that her life was changed, and she had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ alone as her Savior and not any church. And it nearly broke my heart with joy to think that there the Lord set it up, and I didn't even know who the Lord had to listen, you know. And he had Elaine Sender, and to this day she is still walking with the Lord. Praise God. But this is where we start. It is difficult, but we start by telling people, as I was telling the people in that booth behind me at Denny's, the scripture alone is the authority. And then the scripture says that we're dead in trespasses and sins and on and on. And then you give the rest of the gospel. We start with the absolute authority. That's where all witnessing begins. It always begins with scripture. And that is where we pray that the Lord will give us opportunities to explain to people and to explain to precious Catholic people the authority of scripture alone. And that's why I ask you to memorize the scriptures on the left hand side, because you just know the scripture. And I know I have used this. I've used this in Office Max. I've used it at Walmart. I've used it coming out of different other supermarkets at the checkout counter where I'd talk to the cashier coming out. I have met Catholics, I've met others, I've even met Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, at the checkout, and beginning to show scripture alone and what grace is. It's amazing what God sets up. When we believe that God is sovereign, don't we? When we believe that God can sovereignly set up what we call divine appointments, that He sets up who we should speak to. And it's such a joy to be there when the Lord has set up an appointment. And you understand that this is the person the Lord wants me to talk to. And it's such a joy. And it's such a joy later on, if indeed we do hear, as we do now and again, of that person coming to faith. It's such a joy to know that God is sovereign and that He sets up the opportunity. But I ask, have you prayed for opportunities? Do you witness daily? When you go to Walmart, when you go to the bank, do you talk to the teller and ask them, how are you right with God? Now, banks are great places because you sometimes have a little cubicle there for yourself and you're just talking to the teller. And they're taught customer service. They must be polite to you. So you have a captive audience. And I've had such interesting time at at banks, and I found in when I lived here in Portland, Oregon, particularly because being near the West Coast, you know, I used to bring tracts in other languages because I often found that the bank teller only spoke English as a second language. And if I could find out what their original language was, let me give them something in their own language. So it's amazing what God does. But have you taken the commandment seriously? Go ye. Go ye is not a request, it's a commandment. Have you taken it seriously? Do you obey God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you love him by keeping his great commission, his great commandment? By giving the word. And that's what I really urge you. Look for opportunities. And we begin with the authority. The second topic is salvation by grace alone. The scripture says, after saying Romans 3:23, you know, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, it said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It's free and totally paid for by his redemption. It's one of the absolute wonderful descriptions of what God's grace is in Romans 3:24. And then summarized in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it's not of works that finishes, lest any man should boast. And it is not only grace, but Romans 5 is wonderful. It's the abundance of grace. It is the richest of grace. All the things that the scriptures say about grace, it is unbelievable. Where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded at the end of Romans 5. It is just stupendously encouraging what grace is. What does the official Catholic Church say? Paragraph 2000, paragraph 2021, 2021. Quotation, exact words. Grace is the help God gives us to respond to our vocation of becoming his adopted sons. It introduces us into the intimacy of the Trinitarian life. Grace is reduced to being a help, a tool, an aid. Man is in the controlling seat. He is the one who responds. So this is their definition of grace. It's like a woman saying, well, you know, in the morning I need a frying pan as a help to cook some eggs for my husband's breakfast. The frying pan is a help or something she uses. God's grace is not reduced to being a help. God's grace is who he is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is who our gracious God is. It's a description of who our God is. And it is horrendous that anyone could try and demote the person of who our God is by giving a definition of grace as being a help or a tool that man uses. Again, it breaks your heart. And it's for you to learn the scriptures on grace and to look for those opportunities to meet Catholic people in everyday life where the Lord is in charge. I was coming back from, it was a good many years ago now, but it's so clear in my mind. I was coming back from Long Island and I phoned Lynn from Kennedy Airport to say I'm coming on this flight and, you know, I'll be, you know, coming, arriving in Austin, Texas, and finally this flight and all. And she said, Richard, I'm praying for a divine appointment for you on the airplane. I said, well, Lynn, I'm praying I get some good rest. I'm just worn out. She said, will you pray with me for a divine appointment? I said, yes, I will. So I prayed and I'm sitting on the window seat as a big corporate businessman, American businessman, and I'm over towards the window, you know, he's so big. And he's on his cell phone, he's talking to everybody before we take off, and then when we take off, he takes out his laptop when you can get, and he's, man, he's going great guns on his laptop. And I take two cups of coffee and I still don't know what, if this is the one I'm talking to, I don't know what to say to him. So I go to the end of the plane when everything quiets down and I see a black stewardess and I say to her, do you know who God is? And she says, well, I go to a black Pentecostal church, but I don't know really who God is. And I had ultimate questions with me, John Blanchard's book, and I gave her a copy. She asked me for a second copy, which I had with me, and I gave it to her too, and I said, read this. And man, she was listening. So I came back and I sat down in the seat, and I said to the man beside me now, I said, did you see me talking to the gal up there? He said, I did. Well, let me tell you what I said. And I started to pour out the fact that it, you know, we're dead in trespass and sin on the Bible alone. And man, I give about a 15-minute summary of the gospel. And I'm wondering, he's not saying anything. You know, he's saying, and he's just not saying. Then he puts one finger in the air. And I look up and I say, well, what is it? He said, one question. He said, do you think God is on my case? I said, why do you ask? He said, do you see the lady in the middle seat? And I looked over at the lady in the middle seat. When I got on the plane, she gave me this tract. And now you tell me all of this. Is God on my case? I said, yes, God is on your case. Now I would be utterly surprised if I don't see him in the kingdom to come. He was so receiving of the word, and it was so set up by the Lord. It is literally awesome. It is literally awesome when we pray for divine appointments and God sets them up. But are we obeying that great commission? Are we talking to our hairdresser and asking her, does she know who God is? Or if it's a woman or a man, if you're talking to her, do you talk in everyday life to people about the things of the Lord? If not, repent, because this is most serious, because it's the Lord's great commission to us. So the whole thing is there in Scripture. But the Catholics go on to say in paragraph 1129, the Church affirms that for believers the sacraments of the New Covenant are necessary for salvation. Sacramental grace is the grace of the Holy Spirit given by Christ and proper to each sacrament. The Catholic Church says officially that for salvation you need the sacraments. There are seven sacraments in the Catholic Church, and they are necessary for salvation, according to the Catholic teaching. Enough to break your heart. What did the Apostle Paul and Silas say to the jailkeeper when the jailkeeper asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy household. It was just simply to believe on. It's not the rituals of any church that are necessary. It's simply believe on the Lord Jesus. And this is what we graciously pray, that we would get opportunities to speak to Catholics and others. It is wonderful how the Lord gives us other people to speak to besides Catholics, but Catholics in the forefront, but others also. Catholics particularly here in the Portland area and on the California and going down the coast, because they are predominant in society. And it is most likely that you're speaking to a Catholic, not always, but it's quite likely. So it's asking the Lord that we would be able to explain that who the Holy Spirit is in the first place, and the power of God's grace. It is God Himself who so loved the world, and it's not any ritual or any sacrament, and to do so graciously. And in that way, this little tract, to hand this to people at the grocery store and at the supermarket, that itself is a wonderful way just to give the word. If you're a little bit reluctant to talk, at least give the person a copy of this. Likely they're Catholic when you're coming out of the supermarket. So we show these things in love and show that grace is who our God is, and not any sacraments or rituals of any church. Faith is God-given and sustained, and the scripture is so emphatically clear that you just thank God for the scriptures. It says that it's believe on the Lord Jesus. The object is the person of Christ Jesus, we're told in Acts 16. And it is God given, for example, 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, to them that have obtained precious faith with us. It's obtained from God. It's God given, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, a scripture many of us know from Romans 10, and on and on. Faith is God given, and the object is Christ. You say, this is so clear cut. No church could twist or turn this. And this comes as a real surprise when we read the official Catholic Church. So I ask you that we study particularly this topic, because it's a real surprise to us what it says. Paragraph 186. It is the church that believes first, and so bears, nourishes, and sustains my faith. So they're putting focus on the church. And then paragraph 169, salvation comes from God alone, but because we receive the life of faith through the church, she, that's Mother Church, she is our mother. And their conclusion in paragraph 181, believing is an ecclesial act, it is a church act. The church's faith precedes, engenders, that gives life to, supports and nourishes our faith. The church is the mother of all believers. No one can have God as father who does not have the church as mother. What does the Catholic believe on? He believes Mother Church. Mother Church. The faith is in Mother Church. I told you when I left the Catholic Church in 1985, I phoned my family in Ireland and I sent them cassette tapes. It was before I knew about email or anything like that. And before, you know, all these things that come about, I phoned them and I sent cassette tapes and I explained that I had left the Catholic Church. They wrote back to me letters saying that I had lapsed from the faith, the exact words they use. I had fallen from the faith. I no longer believed in Holy Mother. And I didn't believe in Holy Mother. I believed only on Jesus Christ. But this is heartbreaking, and this is where the Catholic is bound. This is where they bind the Catholic mind, and why it's so hard to get home to a Catholic that the whole concept that it is the person of Christ Jesus that we believe, and it's God-given faith. And this is why I particularly pray at supermarkets and at other places where I am visiting, even at gas stations, If you pay with your credit card, you can still go in and see the person, as I do inside, and say, you know, I paid at the pump, but something to ask you or say to you. You can do that as well at the gas station. And, you know, at gas stations and everything, you ask people, and how are you right with God, and what do you believe in? And they say, well, I don't, you know, I don't read my Bible, but I go to the Catholic Church. It is amazing. It is just amazing. You can witness any place. I have witnessed to TSA agents in Traverse City, for example, in Michigan. I'm coming out of the airport, there were very few people there, and I thank God for that. So when they're taking up the trays at, you know, the TSA agent, a gal comes over to, and she was taking up the trays. I said, have you read your Bible today? She said, no, I'm a Catholic, I go to church. So I start telling her, and I said, by the way, I have some things for you. And I start, and then another man comes over and he says, what are you saying to her? I said, well, she said she was Catholic, and I'm showing her, you know, what, who we believe in and what is our authority. He said, I'm Catholic too. So I had two. And it was just amazing grace of God. I don't know what happened those two, but it was like set up by God. Even TSA agents, they're some of the hardest people to witness to because you don't have time, but it can be done. UPS men are other hard ones. Ask my wife, I have got our UPS man. But they're hard people. They go very fast. Very hard to say anything to them. You know, but we can. Ask the Lord. He will give you opportunities and give witness to our faith, that we tell people it's no church saves, it's the person of Christ Jesus. And that's the words that unravel the whole thing. It's no church. They say, well, you're talking about your church. My church doesn't save anyone. No church saves. It's the believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the person of Christ Jesus. It's the gift of God. And so this is what we ask God for, the opportunities. And it is really God's given. I ask you, because of lack of time, that you would read the next one for yourself about the sacrifice and just turn the page to the second side, God the All-Holy One. And this is the most awesome of all the topics. I brought today with me Spurgeon's Catechism, in case you don't have it at the church. It's published by Chapel Library, and I brought a copy with me to give to Pastor so that you could see Spurgeon's Catechism, a remarkable tool explaining what faith is, what grace is, all in, you know, in terms of being a Reformed Baptist. It's just wonderful. Question number 4, Spurgeon's Catechism. What is God? Reply: God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, holiness, goodness, justice, and truth. And Spurgeon gives all the Bible references. But of those attributes of God, his holiness is the most important. Why is his holiness the most important? Because this is who our God is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Isaiah said. He's thrice holy. And then it says in Revelation, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, or glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. God only is holy. This is who our God is. This is his nature. And there, 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy as the Lord, there is none besides thee. There's none like this. The scriptures are emphatic. What does the Catholic Church say? Paragraph 2677, by asking Mary to pray for us, we acknowledge ourselves to be poor sinners, and we address ourselves to the Mother of Mercy, the All Holy One. The words are their own. I had the privilege of speaking at John MacArthur's church at a conference there, 1995, yes, I think it was 94, 95, and we had a group of Catholics protesting afterwards outside, and some of us went out to witness to the protesters, and I had this chart with me, and I gave it to one of the men. I said, read this. He said, my church does not say that. Now, it so happened that I had the book under my arm, and I gave him. He was horrified, and he asked, could he speak to John MacArthur? And he went in and spoke to John MacArthur. From what we could see afterwards, he was convicted, and we cannot say for certain, but it looked like he was truly born again. From what we could see, it was a very eventful conference, and was very hard to say, but something happened. And it was by showing a Catholic this teaching. This is what they call hardball in the States. You have to really ask God whether he would lead you to share this, but sometimes he may. And it is devastating. It actually gets worse. They say in paragraph 20, 30, from the church he learns the example of holiness and recognizes model and source in the all-holy Virgin Mary. The source of holiness is God. He is the one who calls us, justifies us. He is the one who sanctifies us and will finally glorify us. It's God. It's not any human creature. It's who our God is. And this is where, quite delicately, we have to show these things to Catholics. And that we do. And we try to do it with love, because Catholics themselves can be horrified. When teaching a Jehovah Witness, you have to teach them what the Jehovah Witness cult says. When teaching a Catholic, you often have to show them what their church teaches before you can have God pluck them out of it. They don't know often what their church teaches. And give them the exact reference, and do so in the love of the Lord. We would skip then onto the topic of idolatry, because this is utter seriousness, and let me do a quick review of this. We know that the scripture says we're not to make any graven image or the likeness of anything, nor to bow down thyself to them or to serve them. And what is the graven image? It tells us clearly in Deuteronomy, and it goes on, take ye good heed unto yourself, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day the Lord spake, lest ye corrupt yourself and make you a graven image. The similitude of any figure, it's any figure of the divine. It's of who God is. We're not to make the figure of Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. That's how the early church, it is wonderful how the believers of the early church understood this. It's wonderful how by believers at the Reformation, with the exception of some Lutherans, understood this. This has always been paramount. This is where the Catholic Church is scoring big time in bringing down by idolatry, and particularly images of Christ, pictures of Christ on children's Bible, and as I said already, in Sunday school materials, flannel graphs of Christ, and on and on and on. So much as it's difficult even from Reformed publishers to get materials that don't have pictures of Christ. It's very difficult to find materials teaching children that don't have pictures of Christ. That's how far it has gone. It's particularly a phenomenon of America. It's multi-billion dollar industry in America, down to the Jesus video by Campus Crusade. I was in China in 2003, and it broke my heart when I spoke to pastors there talking about churches that had been
used to be Baptists but now are working together with the Catholic Church because of the Jesus video. It has devastated Poland and many nations in Europe, and of course English speaking nations. People say it's a Christian ministry, it's an apostate tool that Satan would use to bring down God's people. Idolatry is probably the most serious topic, and where it hits our Reformed churches. We have to be conscious of this. On our webpage, we have 4 articles, and there's a book by Virgil Dunbar written about God cannot be pictured. God is not like art. There's a whole book written on the topic. So I really ask you, I said I'll give a very quick summary of this. This is most serious because this is where, even as Reformed churches, we are losing the battle, where the Catholics are succeeding in what they say that we don't worship the, it's not contrary to the commandment because we worship the person who is venerated in. It's like Aaron and in the desert, you're making the golden calf to worship the God of Israel. They say, well, we're worshiping God. That's what Aaron taught in the desert. That's what God hates. The very thing that God hates is their justification. So this is something we have to study because it is a huge topic and a lethal topic that we have to be very conscious of. And I spoke about that at the first address this morning. Now I ask that we study these things and pray for those divine appointments because God is gracious. He saves utterly, and it is such a joy to know of people coming to salvation in the Lord. It's such a joy when we send out things by email and, you know, when we contact people over the internet. It's such a joy to see people come to the Lord. I thank God that our webpage has French, Italian, Spanish, Slovakian, and on other languages. You can send our materials out in those languages as well. I thank God that people come to the Lord. And I ask that we contend for the faith and that we do not take Christ's commandment lightly. He said, go ye. Are you going? Are you going to witness to the Catholics and pray the prayer of Paul in Ephesians for the length and breadth, the height and depth of Christ's love? Pray for the love of Christ, and he will give that to you, and he will give you the opportunity, and you'll see souls saved, if not in this world, in the world to come, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me pray. Abba, Father, we come to you. We thank you that we can call you loving Abba, Father, for not only are you the all-holy God, you are our loving Father. You, the all-holy God, we can address in the intimate term Abba, Father, because you have saved us by grace. Father, we have dealt with a real difficult topic that in many way breaks our heart. And we see so many people in this area of Portland and right here on the West Coast, so many people lost in Catholicism. And we realize how few people reach out, and we realize that you have given us a commandment to do this. Father, we pray that you would, by the same grace that saved us, give us the motivation that in our daily life we would begin reaching out with the very love in which you have loved us. And Father, we pray that you would set up the opportunities that we could do it, not only knowing your grace, but seeing what your grace sets up. And Father, that it would be fruitful. As Christ Jesus said in the word, that we would bear fruit. Not just fruit of love, joy and peace which you give, but fruit in knowing that souls are saved. Father, we pray that you would give fruit and that you would save utterly. to the glory of your name. And so, Father, motivate us, inspire us, and do so, Father, that you would be glorified in all things and that souls would be saved. And we give you the praise, the glory, the worship, and the honor. In Jesus' glorious name, amen and amen.